Okay, so we've got this IMF manual you sent my way.
Yeah.
All about this information modeling framework.
Right.
IMF for sure.
Yep.
And while it seems to be, you know, really targeted towards the energy industry, it feels like it's laying out a whole new way to approach engineering projects in general, really.
Absolutely.
Like less paperwork, more clarity, and, you know, systems that can actually talk to each other.
Right.
Almost like a universal translator for engineering.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The need for that kind of universal translator is definitely clear.
For sure.
I mean, the manual in section 2.1 paints a pretty stark picture of the current situation.
Mm-hmm.
You've got information silos and duplicated work and, you know, even safety risks sometimes. It's almost like, you know, trying to build a skyscraper where each team's working from a different blueprint.
Oh, man, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It can be.
And honestly, who hasn't been in a meeting where it feels like everyone's speaking a different language?
Right.
That's exactly what IMF seems to be addressing.
Yeah.
But on a massive scale.
Absolutely. And instead of, you know, just digitizing those existing documents, IMF is really aiming to create like a shared information model.
I see.
A single source of truth that everyone can work from.
Okay.
It's about, you know, bringing all those blueprints together and making sure they're all speaking the same language.
Gotcha. So like figure 5.1 here, they use the separation system as an example.
Right.
Is that what that shared model would actually look like in practice?
Exactly. It shows how a visual model can really represent the system's function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, its physical location.
Okay.
And even the product specifications.
Yeah.
All in a way that's clear and concise.
Right.
Imagine if every component of a project was laid out like this.
Okay.
Accessible to everyone involved.
That would certainly make things a lot easier to understand.
It would.
Especially for someone who's new to a project.
For sure.
You know, no more digging through mountains of documentation just to figure out how things work.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the key benefits that they highlight in section 2.2 is that IMF is designed for ease of use.
Uh-huh.
And it can be implemented gradually.
I see.
So teams can start using it on specific parts of a project.
Okay.
And then scale it up over time.
So no need for, you know, like a massive overhaul overnight.
Right.
That makes it a lot more approachable.
It does.
Especially, I imagine, for companies that might be hesitant to adopt new technologies.
Exactly.
So let's get into the nuts and bolts of how this all actually works.
Sure.
What are the core concepts behind IMF?
IMF is cleverly designed to mirror how engineers already think about systems.
Okay.
There are four key concepts.
Right.
Systems.
Uh-huh.
Aspects.
Okay.
Elements.
Gotcha.
And types.
All right. Break those down for me.
Okay. So
starting with systems.
That sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Think of a system as anything that has a purpose.
Uh-huh.
Made up of interacting parts.
I see.
Like that separation system we were just looking at.
Okay.
A car is a system.
Mm-hmm.
A power plant is a system.
Yeah.
Even a simple coffee maker is a system.
Got it.
Yeah.
So we're basically defining the boundaries of what we're actually modeling.
Exactly.
Okay, what about aspects then?
Well, aspects are those different lenses that we can view a system through.
Okay.
The manual describes function, location, product, and installed as like the main aspects.
Okay.
Think of it like looking at a building.
Right.
You could focus on its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the function aspect, where it's located.
Right.
Location aspect, the materials it's made of, a product aspect.
Gotcha.
Or even its current state of repair.
Okay.
That would be the installed aspect.
So each aspect gives you a different piece of information.
It does, but all crucial.
Right. Okay. So it's like having multiple layers of information for the same object.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So we've got our system. We've got our various aspects.
Mm-hmm.
What are elements then?
So elements are the building blocks of our model.
Okay.
We've got blocks,
uh-huh.
which represent, you know, like equipment or subsystems,
uh-huh.
connectors,
yeah.
which show how those blocks are linked together.
Okay.
And terminals,
mm-hmm.
which represent the connection points.
All right, so I'm starting to visualize how this all fits together.
Good.
We define the system.
Right.
We look at it through different aspects. And then we break it down into those elements.
Exactly.
What about types then?
Well, types are like templates.
Okay.
For common elements.
Uh-huh.
Allowing for standardization and reuse.
Okay.
Instead of reinventing the wheel every time you need a pump.
Yeah.
You can just use a predefined pump type.
Okay.
That already has all the essential attributes.
I see. And connections laid out.
So it's all about efficiency and consistency.
It is.
That sounds like a huge time saver.
Especially for large projects.
Yeah.
With lots of repeated elements.
Absolutely. And that brings us to one of the, you know, key strengths of IMF.
Yeah.
It's all about creating a shared language that everyone can understand
right.
and use.
Exactly.
So this is where the concept of reference data libraries or RDLs comes in.
RDLs.
What are they?
Think of RDLs as the dictionaries of the IMF world. They provide standardized definitions for all the terms and concepts we're using.
Okay.
So when I say pump,
yeah.
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I see.
And it matches the definition everyone else is using.
So it eliminates any ambiguity or confusion.
It does.
Caused by differing interpretations.
Precisely.
Gotcha. And that's crucial for, you know, seamless collaboration across different teams and disciplines.
Absolutely.
Right. We're all on the same page. Literally.
Literally.
This is all really fascinating.
Good.
I'm starting to see the power of this framework.
Yeah.
But how does IMF actually translate?
That's a great question.
From these abstract concepts to real world applications.
We'll get into that.
Okay. So we've got, you know, the basics of IMF down.
Yeah.
Systems, aspects, elements, and types.
Right.
It's all starting to click.
Good.
But I'm curious to learn more about these IMF types.
Okay.
And how they're actually created.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Like, what's the process?
Well, creating well-defined IMF types is crucial.
Okay.
Because they really form the foundation of our shared information model.
Makes sense.
And the manual in section 6.2 dives deep into this process.
Okay, so from what I've gathered, it's about defining the essential characteristics of an element, right?
Exactly.
Like what makes a pump,
uh-huh.
and not a compressor or
right.
something else.
Yeah, and that's where those mandatory attributes
right.
that we talked about earlier come in. They established like the non-negotiables,
mm-hmm.
the core features that define a specific IMF type.
But how do you decide which attributes are truly mandatory?
Yeah.
It seems like there could be a lot of gray areas there.
There can be. But the manual offers some helpful guidance.
Okay.
It suggests starting with the core purpose of the IMF type.
Okay.
So for a tump,
yeah.
that purpose to move fluids.
Right.
So flow rate and pressure attributes that relate directly to that purpose
okay.
would likely be mandatory.
So you're focusing on the essential function of the element.
Exactly.
But couldn't that lead to overly rigid types?
Mm-hmm.
What if you need to model a specialized pump
yeah.
with additional features?
That's a good point. And that's where the optional attributes come in.
Okay.
They allow for that flexibility
uh-huh.
while still maintaining a consistent structure.
Gotcha.
And you can add specific details as needed.
Yeah.
Without breaking the fundamental definition of the type.
So IMF strikes a balance between standardization and flexibility.
It does.
That's really clever.
Yeah.
Now, the manual also mentions that IMF types can be organized into classes.
Right.
Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. I mean, imagine you're browsing a library.
Uh-huh.
Books are organized into categories and subcategories.
Yeah.
To make them easier to find.
Right.
Classes in IMF work in a similar way.
Uh-huh.
They provide a hierarchical structure for our types.
So our pump type might fall under a broader rotating equipment class.
Exactly.
Which in turn belongs to an even broader equipment class.
Precisely.
Okay.
And this hierarchical structure
yeah.
ensures that our pipes are logically organized
uh-huh.
and interconnected.
I see.
Making the information model easier to navigate and understand.
It's like having a well-organized toolbox.
Yeah.
Where every tool has its place.
Exactly.
Now let's talk about those terminals again.
Okay.
They represent those connection points.
Right.
But how are they defined
yeah.
within an IMF type?
Good question. Think of a water pipe.
Okay.
It has inlets and outlets
uh-huh.
where water flows in and out.
Right.
Terminals in IMF are similar.
Okay.
They define how an element connects
mm-hmm.
and interacts with other elements.
Okay.
They specify the type of media that flows through that connection.
Okay, like fluids or energy.
Exactly. Fluids, energy, or even data.
And these media types are also standardized.
They are.
Through those RDLs we talked about.
Yep, through those RDLs.
To ensure that everyone's using the same terminology.
Right.
And understanding of the media involved.
Precisely.
We can even get more specific, I imagine.
We can.
By defining the composition and properties of the media.
Exactly. So we could specify that a terminal handles.
Okay.
Not just fluid.
Uh-huh.
but a particular type of oil
okay.
with a certain viscosity.
So we're adding layers of detail to ensure clarity and precision
right.
in our model.
Exactly.
Now, the manual goes into quite a bit of detail
Perfect.
About creating IMF types for the different aspects,
huh.
function, product, location, and installed.
Right.
It seems like each aspect has its own unique considerations.
It does. Let's make the function aspect, for example.
Okay.
Remember, function focuses on the purpose or the need.
Mm-hmm.
So the IMF type for a pump
yeah.
in the function aspect
okay.
would specify the required flow rate
right.
and pressure.
Okay.
But not the specific pump design yet.
So we're defining the what before the how.
Exactly.
So when we move to the product aspect,
uh-huh.
that's when we start fleshing out those design details.
That's right. The product aspect focuses on the solution
okay.
that fulfills that functional need.
Gotcha.
So here we would specify the pump model.
Yeah.
Materials dimensions, okay. essentially creating a blueprint for the physical embodiment of that pump.
Okay. And what about location?
Location focuses on the spatial context of an element.
Right.
So we might define, you know, the room building
yeah.
or geographic coordinates where the pump is located.
So we're not just modeling the pump in isolation.
Right.
We're also considering its real-world context.
Exactly. And lastly, we have the installed aspect.
Right.
This aspect captures the specific details of the physical asset.
Okay.
As it exists in the real world.
Gotcha.
We'd record things like the serial number,
uh-huh.
installation date, maintenance history.
Okay.
Essentially creating a digital passport for that pump.
Wow. Sounds like each aspect adds a vital layer of information to the model.
It does.
Building a holistic picture of the asset.
Right.
And its entire life cycle.
Exactly.
But this level of detail seems quite complex.
It can be.
How do teams actually go about creating all these IMF types?
Well, there are generally two approaches.
Okay.
Proactive and reactive.
All right.
Proactive creation involves anticipating the types you'll need
uh-huh.
and building a comprehensive library up front.
So like stocking a well-equipped toolbox?
Exactly.
Before you even start a project.
Right. But as you can imagine, that requires a deep understanding of the industry.
Yeah.
And potential modeling scenarios.
Makes sense.
The other approach is reactive creation.
Okay.
Where you create types as you need them
mm-hmm.
during the modeling process.
So if you encounter a unique situation.
Yeah.
Or a specialized component.
Right.
You create a new IMF type to address that specific need.
Precisely.
Gotcha.
It's a more agile approach.
Yeah.
Allowing you to adapt.
Okay.
To the evolving requirements of the project.
So in practice, most teams probably use a combination of both.
They do.
Okay, so we've got our types defined,
mm-hmm.
organized into classes,
right.
and connected through terminals.
Yep.
I'm really starting to grasp the intricacy of this framework, but I'm also eager to see how it all translates
Here.
Into tangible benefits.
Yeah.
Like, how does IMF actually impact the way engineering projects are executed?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll delve into
okay.
in the final part of our deep dive.
Fine.
For how IMF can streamline workflows,
mm-hmm.
improve collaboration,
yeah.
and ultimately lead to better engineering outcomes.
I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so we're back
yeah.
and ready to explore how this information modeling framework actually plays out.
Right.
You know, in the real world.
In practice.
Yeah, how all these concepts we've been talking about
mm-hmm.
actually translate into tangible benefits for engineering projects.
Well, imagine a world where engineers
yeah, okay.
from different disciplines,
yeah.
companies,
mm-hmm.
even different countries
yeah.
can seamlessly collaborate on a project.
Okay.
They're all working from the same information model,
mm-hmm.
speaking the same language,
yeah, right.
accessing the same up-to-date information.
That sounds like a dream come true.
It is.
For anyone who's ever had to deal with, you know, yeah. the headaches of information silos and conflicting data.
Absolutely. It's a significant shift.
Yeah.
And the manual highlights how IMF can really streamline communication, mm-hmm. reduce errors,
uh-huh.
and ultimately accelerate project delivery.
And it's not just about the design phase, is it?
It's not.
Like IMF models can be used throughout the entire project life cycle.
That's right.
From, you know, the initial concept all the way through to operations and maintenance.
Exactly. We're talking about creating a living, breathing digital twin.
Wow.
Of the project.
Okay.
That evolves along with the physical asset.
So it's not just a tool for engineers then. It's a valuable resource for, you know, operators, maintenance, crews, anyone else involved in the project.
Right. And because everyone's working from that same model.
Yeah.
Everyone has access to the same information.
Okay.
Which leads to better decision making.
Makes sense.
and fewer costly mistakes.
Okay, now I'm really starting to see the potential here.
Go.
But let's get specific.
Okay.
Can you give me an example of how IMF might be applied
yeah.
in a real-world project?
Let's say we're building a new offshore wind farm.
Okay.
This is a complex project
yeah.
with many interconnected systems.
Yeah, yeah.
Turbines, substations, cables, foundations.
Right.
And it involves multiple companies.
Okay.
And disciplines all working together.
Sounds like a prime candidate for IMF.
It is.
Yeah.
Using IMF,
uh-huh.
we can create a comprehensive model
uh-huh.
that captures all the essential information about each component
right.
and how they interact.
Okay.
Engineers can use this model to design the systems,
mm-hmm.
simulate performance,
yeah.
optimize layouts.
And because the model is accessible to everyone,
right.
a civil engineer who's designing the foundations
yeah.
can easily see how their work impacts,
yeah.
you know, the electrical engineer who's designing the cable routes.
Exactly. Right. This level of transparency and coordination
right.
can help prevent costly clashes and rework.
Down the line.
Down the line.
Gotcha. And it doesn't stop there.
It doesn't.
Well, once the wind farm is operational,
yeah.
the IMF model can be used to monitor performance.
Right.
Track maintenance activities.
Uh-huh.
Even predict potential failures.
Exactly.
Before they occur.
That's the idea.
So it's not just about building the wind farm efficiently.
Right.
It's also about operating it safely and sustainably
mm-hmm.
for years to come.
For the long haul.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that IMF can also facilitate
Yeah.
knowledge sharing and learning.
It can.
How does that work?
Well, let's say you're a young engineer.
Okay.
Just joining the wind farm project.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of spending weeks sifting through mountains of documentation.
Right.
You can explore the IMF model
mm-hmm.
and quickly gain a comprehensive understanding
okay.
of how the systems work
mm-hmm.
and how they're all interconnected.
It's almost like having a virtual tour guide.
It is
yeah.
for the entire project.
And because IMF uses standardized language and definitions,
right.
the knowledge you gain on this project
yeah.
can be applied to other projects
exactly.
that use IMF.
Even if they're in different industries.
So IMF is not just a tool for individual projects.
No, it's not. It's really a way to elevate
mm-hmm.
the entire engineering profession.
I believe so.
Yeah. It's about empowering engineers
yeah.
with the information they need to make better decisions.
Right.
Collaborate more effectively and ultimately design and build a better future.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
This has been an incredibly insightful deep dive.
It has.
The information modeling framework is clearly much more
yeah.
than just a technical standard.
It is.
It's a vision for a future where complex projects are built
mm-hmm.
on a foundation of shared understanding,
yeah.
collaboration, and efficiency.
Absolutely.
And for you, our listener,
yeah.
it begs the question.
It does.
How could this framework be applied to your own work?
Right.
Could it help you overcome some of the challenges you face?
Yeah.
Managing information
mm-hmm.
and collaborating with others?
Good questions to consider.
Those are certainly thought-provoking questions
they are.
To consider as we wrap up this deep dive. We encourage you to explore the world of IMF.
Please do.
And discover how it might empower you
yeah.
to achieve new levels of clarity,
mm-hmm.
efficiency, and innovation
for sure.
in your own engineering endeavors.